April 18, 2015, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Your presence here today.
Yes, Watch for Pedro Show. Hey, good people. We're not with Brother Matt, but next week, I saw him last night at the gig. We will be at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Last show I get to do before tour. But today, I'm here in my pad in Pedro. But via the magic of the Estonia Skype software, now owned by Microshite or whatever the fuck, it's Jeff and Tim. From Arizona and Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
Good to be here.
Okay.
How are you?
Okay. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing a false start live November 20, 1961. My favorite things. See, even John Coltrane is prone to clams. Can you believe that? I guess the duo is called German and Barnes, or Hermann.
Yeah.
How do you say? Is the J soft or is it an H?
It's German.
Also, yeah. Then it's a Y. German.
That's how my grandfather pronounces it.
Okay. Yeah, because when we come over here, of course, we know how to do everything the correct way.
Germanski.
Okay. But I guess in Germany they probably say German, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, because you know, it's hard. They say Deutsch. If you try to ask them to say how we call them, they say German.
Yeah.
Can't really say, they don't have that sound. And Relic Density from their new album, which is bitchin'. I love it, man. This incredible music, these cats. Good people, Tim's been on the show before when I was doing the Hand to Man band recording. In Austin, when was that, 2010 or 11?
I just want to say 11.
Okay, so pert near 4 years ago, come summer, I got an incredible opportunity to record with Tim there and John Dietrich.
Yeah.
Who recorded us?
Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Yeah.
Incredible cat. And Tolan was on the piano.
Tolan.
See, I don't know how to pronounce anything right. There's that sound again, but they're still with me, people. That's one of my favorite records I got to play on, man. I love that record. It's called You Were Always on Our Minds, because that was on, we got Chinese Chow one night. I remember getting there and somebody fucking dropped a half gallon of Jim Beam on the deck or something.
Nicholas.
Okay.
That was supposed to be your gift. And then it was like, here's your gift. And then it like slipped out of his hand. He'd been drinking too much champagne already or something like that in the morning.
Champagne.
Yes.
Yeah, and anyway, Fortune Cookie had this fucking thing. You are always on our minds. It was scary. Usually it's like, you know, lucky lotto number is, or, you know, you lose an arm and a leg. But this one was like, you're always on our minds. And it was a beautiful album, and getting to work with him, Mr. Barnes here, incredible for Watt. Great student in his class.
I have to send you some. I recently came across some like outtakes that didn't make it. I think I need to send them to you.
Because it was quite a process. I mean, we recorded stuff, and then these guys put it together, and, you know, the man behind the curtain rock, and it was incredible. but since you've been on the show, we went through your music journey from Orange County to the Lower East Side to Kentucky. Let's get it. Your partner. Wow, somebody's in the background.
Mr. Jeff.
Yeah, no, but it was not. It was a cohabitor or something, our visitor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our housemate.
What's what part are you in? Phoenix?
I live in Cottonwood, which is like right in the center of the state.
Okay. Sedonia? No, it's more north.
It's about 20 minutes south of Sedona.
Bumblebee?
That's too far south.
You know, I've always had a dream of Bumblebee, but I found out it was a ghost town saying anything there. But you're on I-17, close to that.
About 20 minutes away.
So maybe I pass you by. Jeff, what's your earliest music memory?
My mother playing Andy Williams records all day.
So it's in the pad. And like, you're a little boy, right?
Yeah.
And so it's Andy Williams. Kind of like Johnny Rotten voice. Yeah.
pots and pans. And.
Oh, you mean you started playing right away? And you think Mr. Williams inspired that?
Yeah.
Or was a reaction, too?
I just like to make noise.
Wow. I mean, what age are we talking?
It's probably like 8, 9.
8, 9. And instead of drums, you're just taking the shit out of the kitchen.
Right.
Okay.
That's what was available.
Right, right. When did you make the leap?
Probably around 13.
Like junior high school?
My folks bought me a drum set when I was in junior high.
Interesting.
I eventually learned how to play it.
Okay. When you were with the Pots and Pans, was it like Man Alone, or were you trying to play to Andy Williams or other records?
Mostly Alone, and then eventually with records.
So, speaking of records, I mean, you had the Andy Williams foisted on you. So, what was the first record you bought? Or God, you didn't have to buy it.
Chicago,
the band?
And then the first album was Share the Land by the Guess Who.
Oh, your first record was Guess Who. My first record was a 45 of American Woman. I think they were a Winnipeg band, right?
Yeah.
So. Share the Land. So it was a 45 also?
The first 45 was a Chicago.
Okay. What was that? 25 to 6 to 4 or something? Because I remember in high school, every school band played that fucking song.
25 to 6 to 4, right?
That and I remember the drum fill that every drummer in the school band was Hawaii 5-0, right? So that's what I remember. And also Frankenstein, this instrumental by Edgar Winter. That was huge when I was going to junior high school. Okay, so, and where'd you buy them? People don't know that you used to get 45s like in drugstores and shit, right? Did you get it in something like that?
Probably like Walgreens or some used to call it 5- and 10-cent store.
Yeah, they weren't. There wasn't really a lot of record stores.
Right.
Yeah, because actually, D. Boone's brother, me and him were emailing about this, where you used to get even tickets to gigs and shit. It wasn't really a music industry.
The Licorice Pizza, right?
Wow, I remember that. That was a chain.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, there was one catty corner from the whiskey, and it tripped me out how I could see the Zeros play, and then they had their 45 there. Because I came from Arena Rock, and that was just a whole... another deal.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, I don't hear a lot of Chicago and Guess Who in your music, but I know it's lurking there somewhere. And
it's in there. The riffs to prove it.
I tell you, the American Woman drum lick was weird because, you know, most rock and roll's got a backbeat, and that didn't have a fucking backbeat. It's more like a Native American or something.
Right.
It's very strange. Floor tom kind of lick.
Yeah.
And like start, stop, start, stop. Yeah, we don't do that stuff that much. D. Boone loved that solo. I remember 3-4 hours every day for like whole school year. Over and over. Must have been out of our mind with that one. Fucking tune. Here, let's listen to more of your new album.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
German, Barnes, Mamatis, after that Petrohaden with Bondi, Howie Reed, Your Equilibrium, Scars, Kemmer, Acapella, Von Rath, AM3, well, I think it's 3 AM, but that's the way they titled it, Sawako and Daisuke Miyatani, and then finally, Shit on Me, me and my second man, it's Record Store Day, good people, happy Record Store Day, and I did a split thing with my second man, covering Dicks, speaking of Austin man, Shit on Me, and we're going to go play that up in Hollywood later today. But back to Jeff's story of music, we're talking Chicago, we're talking Guess Who, we're talking Pots and Pans, we're talking a trap set provided by the parents in junior high school. What's your first band there, Jeff?
Very first band was just a bunch of friends and I got together in the living room and tried to play. And then I think one of us was competent. My friend across the street in Phoenix was a blind piano player who could play any song. Play him a record once and he'd sit down at the piano and play it.
Damn.
The rest of us couldn't find our asses with both hands, but this guy was, it was fun.
You know who's like that is Nels Klein.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know that first take feel? It's literally like that with Nels. You don't have to fucking teach him the song. You can actually, as you're showing him the song, have the record button on. So much respect. Maybe being blind, too, like kind of pushed his hearing stuff.
Right.
More sensitive.
Right.
Yeah. Was he your age? Was he a young man?
We were in the same grade and in grade school.
Okay. What remember his name?
Joe De Benedictus.
Okay. Thank you, Joe, for having it together for Jeff. Okay, but this is just a living room band. This band doesn't do gigs.
Right.
This band
later on in junior high and high school, I joined a professional outfit.
Okay.
Playing feelings at weddings.
Oh, so you're doing cover song. Are you guys writing material?
No.
Cover band, okay.
Right.
And so you learned how to play other dudes' licks. That's a good place to start. That's where I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't, until punk rock, I didn't meet dudes that just started writing. That's why I love the movement so much. Dudes, you know, I mean, nobody picks where they come from, you know, so, but I come from like you, where you copied records, copied songs. But I didn't really move to a wedding band right off the bat, man. That's, you know, I was talking to the cat who played drums in the Flaming Lips, and he told me he was in his daddy's country band at 6.
Wow. That's like, that trumps like the Cowgirls or something like that, right?
Right. They started a little. Okay. Or the band Traps, that Sound of Music shit.
Right.
Okay. Okay. What? Obviously, you know, Pots and Pans, Trap Set, Living Room Band, Cover Band, Wedding Band, and where you're at now with Mr. Barnes. What was in between there?
Trying to get out of cover bands.
Okay. So there was
I made my living for a long time.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, okay.
Until you like it.
Wow. So music wasn't a side thing. It actually was the providing the landlord with his art collection, all the little green paintings.
So to speak.
You were providing him with little green paintings. I hear he wants to collect the whole series.
Right.
Okay. That's a trip. You know, I don't think I've ever had anybody on the show that is living in a cover band. That's bitching. Thank you for being here for that. This in May, it's going to be 14 years me and Brother Matt have been doing this, and you're the first cat. So, see, people, there's hope. There is hope. Don't give up hope. Jeff German's here to fucking prove that. Okay, so you're struggling to get out, but you have to make a living doing this. You know, I have had people on the show that were made to learn to be musicians as kids, and they ended up hating it because the fucking teacher would beat them with a ruler and shit when they did clams. And so they had to actually find the love of music again by going into some weird avant-garde because they had such a bad experience.
Yeah.
I could see I'll cover Ben-itis. Is that the science word?
Sure.
It's kind of related to Sideman-itis.
Yes.
But it could, like, put a damper in the pamper about regarding music. So how did you break free?
I just started doing my own thing, actually, before I started playing in cover bands, I was messing around with tape recorders and stuff. And
this is like a parallel.
And improvise and
this is like a parallel universe, right? This is like at home, man alone.
Right.
Tape recorder rock. So, like, what? Sound on Sound, Les Paul, kind of Mary Ford?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Lou Barlow, you know, the Pulido stuff. He told me he was doing that as a young man, but had to, on the other world, be the dinosaur man.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what? Eventually, you started making releases? Well, the punk movement comes, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Phoenix is really early. In fact, we have people in our Hollywood scene, like Don Bowles, Paul Cutler, that I think they were called the Consumers. They became the Human Hands, David, and the little posse came from Phoenix and came into the Hollywood scene. So I know early on. And who did I have? I had some dudes on the show. Oh, yeah, Mike from JFA last week. Yeah, a whole week ago. And he was telling me about the old days. He had a band in the late 70s at the Sun Devils, Tempe, Arizona State.
Right.
And, I remember playing early Mason Jar and Mad Gardens, kind of a karate club, a wrestling ring thing, Victor Brothers. And okay, yeah, Feeders, that was an old band from that area. Sun City Girls, absolutely. Okay, so do you get involved with this?
No.
Okay.
So my dad was in the military, so he moved every 2 years. I spent, like, 2 years in Phoenix, and then we moved somewhere else to Colorado, where he retired, and I was stuck in Colorado until I decided to get the hell out.
What part?
Colorado Springs.
Okay. Air Force Academy.
Right.
Yeah. I think I played there once. Not the academy, but the town.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Yeah, well, you know. Country made up of a lot of towns, you know. It's interesting and stuff. But there was no scene, right?
No.
Yeah.
Still isn't, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think so. I think we played with a kind of a, what were they called, Flipper or something. And there was a band that was kind of a jam band we played with.
Uh-huh.
I remember, which I can't. Okay. That's interesting. Well, you had a lot of time for individual study.
That's another word for it. Yeah.
But all along, it's the drums. The drums is the center of your music.
Yep.
Universe. That's.
I mean, I goof around with guitar and piano and stuff, right. But I never really got them sussed.
Okay. It was always around the stick in the hand beat man.
Right. But I'll tell you, I'm just gonna interject here just for a second, Mike, and just say that when Jeff and I first kind of met and some of our first tours that we did together and some of our first
I'm going to get to that, Tim, but we're at the end of the first hour, April 18, 2015, edition of Walker Pedro Show, people. Jeff and Tim, my special guest, hold out time for hour two. April 18, 2015, hour two, the Walker Pedro Show. Thank you. Watch for Pedro Show. Start hour two off with one big jam. Herman Barnes with Bite. Now, that ain't B-I-T-E, people. That's B-I-G-H-T. And I cut Mr. Barnes off because he was runneth over. Here we are in the hour. No, it's all right. You know, had to put the plug in the jug.
No, I love to brag on Jeff. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about how you guys met now. Oh, yeah. That's from the album. Is the album just called German and Barnes?
No, Matterings is the name of the record.
Matterings. Yeah, because you, for some reason I didn't fucking know it. Okay.
Well, yeah, because I think I sent you the file, so it didn't show.
Okay, so thank you for educating stupid Watt. Now, let's educate him to the coming together, Mr. Barnes, Mr. German.
Yeah.
What year?
I think a mutual friend kind of introduced us or suggested that we meet and then that we should play together and experience each other's, you know, approach to music.
So who do we blame?
Say again?
Who do we blame?
Chris Wolf?
No.
Aurora?
No. Oh, God. I'm spacing on his name. I can't. Eric.
Suarez?
Eric, no, Eric from Colorado, from Denver.
Oh.
From Apples and Stereo.
Hey, right. I remember who's from Colorado, from Boulder, is Jella.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Apples and Stereo, I remember those cats. Yeah, I think I was on a bill with them. Yeah, the Midwest guys. I didn't know they were Colorado. I thought they were Illinois. Okay, so it was actually somebody else who got you guys together.
Yeah.
You should play.
Yeah, and so I called up Jeff and invited him to come out to the East Coast, and we were going to go on a week-long tour together with a couple other guys, and we'd just be doing, like, swapping duos and solos, and Jeff had some...
When is this? What year?
This is 2004.
Okay.
2004, Jeff says.
Okay.
And, and so we went out, and there was two other guys, Sean Meehan and David Daniel, and every night was like kind of a different setup. We would do, like I said, we'd do duos and solos, and Jeff had some opportunities for us to work as a group, too, and yeah, it was really wonderful.
Well, that's balls out. You had never played with them. You just, hey, let's do a tour.
Yeah. We just kind of jumped right in. I mean, we knew it was going to be, you know, an improvisational thing. And
still,
so,
I love the fucking audacity. Here, Brother Steve McKay, he's played with some expats in China. What's his name?
Yeah. bâbord, à tribord, mon commandant de bord. Un ciel tout azuré, je puis vous l'assurer. Les commandes bien en main, regard fixé au loin. Allumer le radar, l'écran noir du sonar. Mais j'entends le bruit de l'eau, l'idée,
know what I hate? A world where restaurants tell you that your table is ready with a shitty, vibrating, flashing plastic coaster. You know the kind. You get them in restaurants today. If you subject yourself to your Olive Gardens or your Cheesecake Factories. But there are still restaurants out there that still rely on the old method. That crappy old beat-up speaker that's hanging to the wall by one screw. The kind where you're not sure when your table's ready if they're paging Fidel Castro or you and your friends. So if you find yourself in one of those old restaurants with the crappy, dilapidated, distorted, blown-out speaker that was installed when Gerald Ford was a senator, and when the hostess asks you your name, don't use your boring, regular name. Try Parpar, which you will invariably be asked to spell. Just like it sounds. P-A-R. P-A-R. And then when it's time to eat, you will hear, Parpar party of four, your table is ready. Parpar party of four. You're going to eat some spit for that one, but it's worth it just to see the look on their faces. You got it right. We move the night.
Watch for Pedro show. We heard Segway for Lovers, Round Eye. That's with Brother Steve McKay on the tenor sax. Same one he did Funny House with. Nudity after that with White Hot Gold. Yeah, that's a friend of Toby's up in Olympia. Mayday. What's his name? Von Stuck. I can't remember. No Poem with Mayday. Mr. Chai Pig or Chi Pig? Yeah, Chi. Chai. C-H-I. Chi. Chi. Los Necronauts, anyway. Fuck. I think they're Zona. Bernays Propaganda, Bar Cultura, they're Macedonia, Skopje. Bob Schreiner with Par Par. Dix, Off Duty Sailor. Seven, the Roddix, yeah. You know, 30 Minute Makeout, Lemon Limes. Nam June Pike by GG Band. Busan. And Hey You, new version, Vasha with Max Grassel. Or Grassla, if it was German, huh? Back to the story. This week-long tour. Did this unit have a name?
No, it was just, we just went by our names.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and it was really, I mean, I think
for... So you're first because you're a B.
Yeah, well, for, what we were truly trying to do was, I think, really expose people in the East Coast, you know, sort of area in the Northeast, to Jeff, you know. I mean, I think that not too many people, I think, at that point, or very few people at that time had heard about him and knew about what he was doing and stuff, and so we wanted to share him with everyone.
Yeah, that's what's important about a scene, a movement. I think it's turning people on, whether it be like the cassettes or bringing cats to play in front of people. That is the greatest gift, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was really nice too.
Did you do any recordings of these gigs?
Yeah. Yeah, every show was recorded.
Oh, shit. So.
Yeah. We traveled with like a little DAT. At the time, it was, you know, DAT was like the, whatever, the, that was the thing. And we traveled around with a little setup and, we recorded.
Man, you know. I would love to hear. If you ever get time, please flow and I'll play on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So what developed from that?
More stuff between Jeff and myself. I think we really kind of hit it off, and like we made a trip out to Colorado, and we played a couple shows. We played at the BMOCA. It was like the Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art.
Yeah.
Right.
What was it called, Jeff?
Boulder Museum of Contemporary Art.
Yeah.
And we played at Plus Gallery in Denver.
Where Jeff had played before, and it was great. You know, it was a totally new audience for me, and you know, a lot of people showed up, and it was really nice to be, you know, welcomed and enjoyed by so many people that I had never met before. Yeah.
And the idea of two drummers.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't really full kit setups.
Sure.
You know, and we were, it would be like, you know, a single drum, or like we had maybe one or two drums, and then with lots of other implements to kind of instigate different kinds of sounds or textures or whatever.
You call that percussion?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've always, you know, there's drums and then there's percussion, but actually a little bit of related, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it really is. I think it kind of depends on, I don't know, how you think about it. What do you think, Jeff?
I call it concussion.
Concussion.
Yeah, I like that. Concussion. And I love the way that it's kind of like the most honest, I don't know, way you're dealing with a heartbeat. Also, I think dancing and drums are very related. Maybe the Feet Pounding on the Earth was the first concussion band.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's something about that's very fundamental. You know, only about the last 15, 16 years I've been having my drummers play up front. For some stupid reason, we had Georgie in the back. Can you imagine George Hurley and the Minutemen sitting in the back because we had not broken free of that fucking paradigm hierarchy shit.
Yeah, right. This is how they do it, right?
It's just fucking a shame. So, yeah, I was excited when you told me about this, and then to hear it, you know, because, yeah, I mean, I thought bass guitar was like right field in Little League, but man, same with the drummies.
I mean,
it's really weird about the older days, and I'm so glad we're free of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, some people still choose to go that way, but yeah, when you feel it, and you know it, it's nice to.
And where you guys were at, it was more about performance. You weren't really into this recording thing yet, right? At this point.
Go ahead, Jeff.
We recorded live shows. We hadn't started file training and that kind of stuff yet.
Yeah, I want to get to that. In the next hour, how you made this I already forgot the name.
Matterins.
Matterins.
Yeah.
What a fucking retard. Sorry. Yeah, I want to get into how you actually made this Matterings, because this is kind of a thing you can do nowadays, a lot easier maybe than in the old days. So the new days ain't all bad. You can do things that you couldn't. But we're getting at the end of here, second hour, April 18, 2015, edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Jeff and Tim, my guests. Hold tight for hour three. April 18, 2015, it's the third hour, Wofford Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour. German and Barnes with In Situ. Beautiful. Let's talk about the process of recording this out.
Sure. First, when we were asked to make this record, first of all, it was by this gentleman named John Abbey, who runs Erstwhile Records, based out of Jersey City, New Jersey. And we kind of jumped at it. Jeff and I were, threw some ideas back and forth. I think we even how about something like this or something like this.
I think Jersey City is the home of
FMU.
FMU.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, we started throwing some ideas back and forth about what we thought we might want to do, and then that turned into, when it came time to record, we took a trip out to, I flew out to Arizona, and Jeff picked, and then we also brought a recording, a recordist to come out with us, Barry Weisblatt, and we spent three days, Jeff?
Yeah,
three or four days, and Jeff took us to some amazing places where we were out in the middle of this, out in the desert, and I'll let Jeff tell you more about it, but it was, we were recording everything outside, like In Situ was recorded outside in this big wash.
So no studio involved, okay.
No studio.
So when we're talking ambient, we're really talking ambient.
Yeah.
Bitchin'.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, we were very lucky to have Barry with us, because he had some really great gear, and I brought a couple of microphones too, but he did some really nice setting up of capturing what we were trying to do.
But Jeff, you were thinking about this ahead of time, like this might be a bad a place to do it, maybe over here. What about wind? Isn't there a problem with microphones and wind?
Yeah, usually some days are better than others. I don't recall that being a problem.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
I've done the radio show on a sailboat, and there's definitely been some problems.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
I had to get this big foam rubber motherfucker on there, because it was like,
yeah.
Blow ye winds. Of course, you ain't going to sail without fucking winds. Okay, so, I didn't know that. So each tune is in a different pad, a different place in Zona?
The In Situ was recorded out in the desert, mostly. White has field recordings from the desert. Mamatis has field recordings from the desert. I think that's it. Then we did a lot of recording in my little studio here at my house.
So, you had kind of like overdub or something? Or a collage put together from the outside and the inside?
Right. The finished product is a mashup of a lot of different things. There's a bunch that we haven't used yet.
Interesting.
We're going through.
Interesting. Is there a lot of, verbal cues and stuff, or did you guys do it by, because you're an incredible musician, so was it kind of intuitive?
I think a lot of it was just intuitive in terms of things that we individually liked, and we would try all kinds of different stuff where, Jeff would send me, hey, I have this old this recording that I made, or this older recording, and I'd listen to it, and I would try to think, okay, what can I put with that, or what can I do with that, what can I play with that, whichever, and we just kind of built on pieces.
Okay,
sometimes.
This is after the Arizona trip, you come back home. Right. Okay.
Going through all the material and stuff, and throwing some ideas back and forth, and seeing what we could kind of put together. I think it was kind of it was important. I think for me, I think for Jeff, I really wanted to capture this vibe of just desolation. Just very very barren kind of place that had really just a still had this kind of like warm vibe of and just ambience of what happens
the situation
in the desert, you know, especially with the stuff that Jeff has done in the past.
I've always found the desert intriguing. If I didn't live by the water in Pedro, I think I would live in the desert. What about you, Jeff? What was your intention?
It makes me kind of always in awe of it. It's like, man, what a great idea. Yeah.
Your intention, Jeff?
The whole thing?
Well, not the whole, but the universe, the cosmos. No, let's like limit it to the record.
Right.
Just for the sake of conversation.
I don't think I had one really. I just wanted to see what happened. And I rarely go into stuff that way with a preconceived idea. Sometimes I do, and then I get sidetracked.
Okay, and you're already living out in the desert, so it's like a fact of life.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. Let's play some music.
Y gracias a nuestro triunfo, que es ahora que estamos viviendo. Como gente, se dice, tenemos nuestro sitio, nuestra casa, que es la población en Minta de la Victoria.
Sin haber luchado derecho se fue a la gloria con el pecho atravesado las balas de los mandados mataron a la inocente lloraban madres y hermanos en el medio de la gente
que estoy con gente cambia. Guananana, tócame el bombo. Guananana, mucha gente de la la. Guananana, tócame el microcón.
Guananana, que te bajes la guitarra. Guananana, turn down that delay. Guananana, this is our song. Guananana, party's going to play. Guananana, empezamos la prueba. Escucha lento lo que voy a decir. Voz de batería de la dos trompeta. Vas a gritar en el flip. Guananana, go. Guananana, no.
Yeah. trip along with us. If road ain't breaking, what we must in order to feel lost. A breeze in the clouds, creating light in our memory. Memory is all we have. We have none, we think in the glass, searching like hope for our minds. Melting into the magma, so when memory was a woman, magma would be her name. And I call it and I ask her, magma, what was the first words I said? And why did I say them? I know you know, cause you melted my bones and my brain. I see you late at night when I dream. Magma, you are my warm blanket that leaves me when I wake. Please don't go when I call. Blanket that leaves me when I wake.
Jerry's dipped.
De la Victoria, Victor Yara, Ritmo K, T. Tienes, Butanizer, Magma, Chicano Batman, Redistribution of Wealth with a rough mix from Frightwing. It's got Eric Dufeldman nowadays. And finally, So Long, something live from the Extract out of Canada. You guys are coming to my state. You come to California for a tour. Tell us.
Yeah, we're coming out there to sort of start, you know, kind of showing people this record a little more and share it with them. And we're starting off with a little visit to CalArts on the 27th of April.
Valencia.
Yeah, and
you're Magic Mountain. Don't go there. You know, there used to be gigs there at one time.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie, Roller Coaster, and, like, there's that whole scene with, what's that rock band? Two brothers. Sparks.
Oh, the Mayall Brothers.
Yeah. But they're in that movie, Roller Coaster. Yeah, it was like the, 1970s roller coaster disaster, movie. You know this thing?
No, I know Sparks. I saw them. I liked them. And I've driven past Magic Mountain, but never been there.
Yeah, it takes place at the climax scene takes place at Magic Mountain.
Okay, and what's the date of the CalArts gig?
27th. It's kind of a private school thing. But then on the 29th, we'll be at Human Resource.
We're talking April 29th, people, this month.
April 29th. And then we'll go to do a KXLU performance on the morning of the 30th.
Right, that's Loyola Marymount, people, 88.9 FM in the SoCal area, but also KXLU.com, you can listen to them. What's the difference? Is there gigs after that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, then we go down to San Diego.
Right.
And play a place called... Center for Arts.
Okay.
And then we go up to Pomona.
Okay.
And play a place called the DA Arts.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. And then we were going to go to San Francisco, but things just kind of got mucked up. And by the time I had to book my flight and everything to get out there, it was the window had closed.
That's all right. Next time, people. And I advise everybody come see this. It's got to be kind of different than the record, but kind of similar, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a knack for saying stupid shit. Sorry, Jeff.
No. You nailed the head.
What's in the future after the tour? Do you have plans?
Another record?
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're just going to go into it, Jeff, because you don't think, you have no preconceived for you. But what about you, Tim?
I've been so pleased with how this whole process ended up, and it really put me in a great place with just my own sort of feelings about music and just being this active again within music too is just been wonderful. So I don't know. Jeff and I really created a great thing between us this time around, and I have no doubt that we will make it, other records very soon.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I ask everybody this on the show. You gotta give somebody ask you advice about this fucking music record. What would you say?
Just do it.
Good advice.
Your own music. Don't let anybody tell you that you shouldn't.
That's excellent.
Right. You do it this way or that way or whatever. Do what. Play what's in your heart.
Yeah. It's been quite an honor to have you both aboard. Thank you so much for being on the Watt Pedro Show. I wish you the best of luck. Can't wait for the second album. I'm sorry I ain't here to see the gigs, but people out there, please go see them. I'm glad I got to play the music here on the show. Keep on keeping on. You guys are both big inspiration to me.
Thank you, Rat. You too. Where are you headed off to?
Europe. I got one more tour of the third opera, then I'm going to put her to bed.
All right.
Six tours. That's a lot out of one record.
That is a lot. Yeah. How's your Italian buddies doing?
Yeah, we just did a big U.S. Oh, yeah, you went into the gig.
Yeah.
In Louisville. Yeah, they're beautiful. Of course, they've got 20 projects each, so they're involved with that right now.
Yeah. I love that record, man.
Oh, you're beautiful. Most kind. You're most
yeah,
kind.
Yeah, it was great.
Both of you, thank you for being on the show. It's been April 18th, 2015 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Good people, happy record store day. Keep your powder dry.